We're just close enough to the Groundhog Day time slip continuum to see the death of BlackBerry phones again. And just like Phil Connor's experiences, no repeat is ever exactly the same as the last one. This is the Android Police Podcast. It's Tuesday, February 4th. Welcome, I'm Ryan Hager, and joining us today is a video producer for XDA TV and generally chill guy. He's Tadek TK Bey.
Yep.
Merhaba to you.
Merhaba to you as well. Thank you very much.
So it is merhaba. Jules, you lied to me. I thought it was the same as it was in Turkish, because it's merhaba is hello in Turkish, and I didn't know if it was the same in Lebanese.
It is. But I usually start with mine as sabaho, which is good morning. So the call card of most of my videos, on my channel at least, is sabaho, everybody, and it's merhaba. Yeah, merhaba is universal. It works with almost any Arabic-speaking country.
Okay, I didn't know that. I took a year of poorly remembered, sort of skipped along Turkish in high school, and that's pretty much all I remember is merhaba, nislisin. That's about it.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on, and I'm really, really excited that we're able to actually have a little chat. Yeah, no, some good news and interesting news this week.
Yeah, it's been an interesting week. We would assume it'd be a little slower, maybe more leaks in preparation for MWC and for Samsung, and yet we had a fairly big announcement out of TCL. Yesterday?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. A very sad announcement, but and I'm sure you'll elaborate a little bit more about it. I'm actually very sad. It actually impacts, you know, a very lovely device that I really enjoy using.
So for anyone who's out of the loop, officially announced yesterday that BlackBerry Mobile, TCL's BlackBerry phones, they're done. They're gone. Like, this is the end. The brand is essentially being retired again. After it was revived in a licensing agreement by TCL to make the last couple BlackBerry phones, like the one you just showed, I think that was the Key 2.
Yeah, the Key 2, not the LE, but yeah, the regular Key 2.
Yeah. And so sales for existing phones will end in September?
August, September. Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit later on in the year.
And no new devices are expected to exist in the line. And software support, we're still being guaranteed by TCL software support for the period that was previously described, which I think was 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Though it's, I guess, dependent upon which market you're in. But that's it. It's done. BlackBerry is again dead, even though really it wasn't BlackBerry this time around. But
it truly is sad that we're seeing. I mean, I'm not surprised, not necessarily very surprised in the outcome of this. Obviously, as we saw at CES, there was a very big presence from TCL in the mobile realm. They're trying to focus on their brand, and it wasn't even Alcatel specific. It was actual TCL hardware, and
yeah,
they will come to market as TCL. So that was very interesting, and should have seen it coming. Too many players in the, you know, if you think about it, they're producing too many different things. I hope somebody does actually end up picking it up, because that form factor is very unique, and there is a market for it. People do enjoy having a physical keyboard on their devices. I think the Key line was definitely very nice. It's a nice combination of mid-range power, good battery life, and of course the keyboard that we all have come to love from BlackBerry. But I'm excited to see also what TCL is going to do, because they showed us some really interesting hardware with not too many details. The 10 line of devices. So we'll have to see how they bring everything together. Will they have another QWERTY keyboard device and just don't call it a BlackBerry? Maybe.
Especially now that they have years of experience making them, right?
Exactly. Yeah. We have many iterations of it. I think from the first Key to the, you know, Key 2, as well as the Key LE. And, you know, they had different, like at least three different generations of the same device. So they should be able to, if they want to, of course.
If they want to. I don't know. I personally haven't seen the sales numbers. I don't know how well they sold. I know based on the people I've spoke to and our readers, I don't think too many people were. There was a very passionate core audience that was like, woohoo, keyboard phones.
Yep.
But in general, most people were like, eh. Especially once you looked at the price tag, because I think the Key 2 was $650 at launch and it had a Snapdragon 660.
Yeah, it from a spec-wise, that's the thing. They realized they didn't need the high-end processors, because they weren't really trying to feed into, you know, very heavy gaming, so on. The display was actually smaller. So from the form factor, there is definitely, I think, an appeal for keyboards supporting devices. Not that I'm trying to basically bring in another player into the conversation, but, you know, the FX Tech Pro 1, you know, definitely.
Yeah.
That just got released earlier this year. So definitely very, very much of a small group of people, but I feel like, again,
they are very passionate about it.
For the few that do love their keyboards, they enjoy it, and of course they will fight for it. So hopefully we will see something from them. But yeah, I'm really sad to see it, but hopefully we'll have to see what they come up with and what the future brings. You know, it may revive again as far as a name with another company, or maybe even TCL comes back and uses it again.
Yeah. Who knows? I don't think a motivation for why this occurred was offered either. So this could be BlackBerry itself being like, no, we don't want to extend the licensing agreement. And TCL is like, oh yeah, whatever. Or TCL, you know, as we said, because they're doing so much more of their own branding and their own devices, they might have just decided they don't need a name anymore.
And for them to actually forecast it so much in the future, I mean, they're telling us in January or February now that they're deciding to do this later in the year. So yeah, you're right. It could be a licensing concern, and it could just be that they're like, you know what, we have our own thing to focus on. Let's just move on.
Why keep paying money for a name that we can do it ourselves? Who knows?
And they're going to have a lot more details on their line at MWC. So I've been waiting for that since January. We saw the hardware, no detail.
Yeah. So we'll know more about that. So excluding the BlackBerry news, there was also something we were pretty entertained by. Pablo Escobar's brothers, $400 Galaxy Fold clone that is obviously and clearly a very real phone you can buy for $400 today. How do you feel about that?
When I saw the preview for it, when I saw the actual like ad for it, and then the claims, it was very interesting. It was very little about the phone and more about the people in the phone that you just didn't really know if it was just a hype video. I don't know. $400, it's a very low bar. I'm not sure, I mean, realistically what to expect. But I would just say adjust your expectations to the price point and move cautiously. Especially in this year, we're going to see a lot more foldables than what we saw last year. This is definitely where I feel like some of the technologies that we saw last year is being fine-tuned. We're having better devices, smaller form factors. I mean, I personally still have the Galaxy Fold, the first generation Galaxy Fold, and I'm quite happy with it. I'm interested to see what I saw the Razr, and we'll see what the Z Flip does in a week or so. But a $400 foldable, I feel like there's a certain level of expectations. It may not, to me at least right now, I'm expecting more hype than reality till we actually have it in hand. So that's where I'm curbing my expectation. Yeah, it's hard to say, but I probably would end up basically just to see what it is, just to say.
We've been making the same internal debate because we tried to talk Artem into buying one, and Artem's like, no. So at this point, it's like if one of us wants to take the personal risk to buy one of these phones, I'm kind of thinking about it.
It's
just because it's ridiculous.
Exactly. $400. How can you, it's hard. And not to tie it too far back to TCL, but I mean, even TCL showed us their Concept 2K foldable device, clamshell style. So everybody's getting their hand into foldables. So this is the year to get it. I
don't know if it's even real. Like if you're going to get it, and it's going to be like a two-screen device or it'll fold open. Yeah, and just a screen on the outside that's folding
for
nothing.
It's two separate phones with a connecting case, right?
And
so we'll have to see. I wouldn't mind trying it out. But right now my wallet is, for the lack of a better word, primed for Samsung. Samsung's about to make a major dent into my wallet. So major. S20 and the Z Flip. If the rumors are true, I will be broke come end of February for some time.
I'm really interested in the Z Flip, even though it's not one of the things we're supposed to be discussing, but they're claiming that it's a flexible glass panel. And to my understanding, that we haven't really gotten there when it comes to material science. We have the Willow glass,
which has
kind of been, but...
But not to the extent that we saw in that leaked video, and I looked at the video quite a few times just to try to see if there was any indentation as the person, because the person was folding the phone from the inside, holding
feeling it.
Exactly. So it didn't look like they were doing it the same way I at least do it on my Galaxy Fold, where I hold it from the edges and I fold it on the outside so I don't damage the display. So it's hard to tell. It wasn't a high res video anyways, but if what they're saying or what they're promising us with the Z Flip does actually come true, it would be
incredible.
Especially this far from what we had the first generation. I mean, with the issues that the Fold had, to be able to get to something that is more consumer ready, something that you can put in your pocket and use, front facing cameras, one camera on the front, two on the outside of the clamshell. I think there's a lot of good things coming up with it. So I think for sure I'll be picking one of those up. So as well as hopefully the Ultra on the S20.
Yeah, I passed on the Galaxy Fold ultimately. I had a pre-order. I was ready to do it. I canceled it right before they gave everybody those coupon codes. Damn it.
Yeah, I benefit from that one. Yeah.
But I ultimately pass on that, so I'm definitely going to buy a Z Fold just because, like, I'm sure there's some sort of half-truth when it comes to this glass because mm-hmm. no one has made announcement about having a material like that in a display. So I'm sure it's like glass with a flexible portion of the display that's a laminated plastic and then it's glass up there, which would, I mean, that would still be better than the full, you know, dent-prone, scratch-prone plastic we saw in the previous one.
Yeah, and then for me, just kind of a clarification, I originally did get the Fold itself, not from the pre-orders, but and I did end up selling that one, and I purchased it again used. So I feel like at around $1,300, the Fold does make sense to me as far as a usable mm-hmm. device. But at the $2,200 with the original price point, that just was just like I can't. I'd rather spend another $899 and buy myself a brand new OnePlus, 5G McLaren, and just be happy with that. So for me, at 13, I was able to kind of accept it. But I think as a device itself, it has its merit. I like the foldable functionality. It gives you a bigger display, and I'm not 100% sold. I'm intrigued by the new tech with the Z Flip and the Razr and other foldables. But right now, these devices are giving me a form factor that I currently have with my smartphone. So I need to see the functionality. Does it really make sense for it to be that small? And so I want to hold
still
it.
The novelty associated with the new form factor. You know, how do apps scale to this? And what works? What's better? What's worse?
And that's what it is. I hope Samsung blows my mind next week. And even though we saw some leaks, I'm looking forward to those few things that we missed. And of course, the Z Flip is where it's at. I feel like the Razr is great. Exclusivity right now in the US kind of limited the accessibility to a few number of people. If they don't have the carrier, obviously they can't get it right now. And I don't think people are going to go fork $1,500 or $1,400. But it's surprising. Extend the conversation. But next week's going to be exciting.
I'm also looking forward to it. We'll see. We have what day next week is?
I think Instagram it's on Tuesday. Packed.
Yeah,
it's so exactly a week from now, around this time.
We don't have long to wait at all.
No. But anticipation is killing me, man. We've been waiting for months with all the leaks and rumors and hands-on videos that are showing up everywhere.
Well, I hate to drag out the conversation too long, but we do have. I mean, I kind of jumped the gun actually when we moved between subjects. So we do have a little bit of time to talk about. What are you looking forward to most, other than the foldable phone, for next week?
So for me, I think. So the at least with the information that we're getting right now, we're seeing is there's going to be three different versions that we had last year, but there is no E model. So the E, I think, is out.
Right. That's interesting. I figured that was going to be sticking around. Yeah. Especially considering how popular it was.
That was exactly what I'm thinking. Like, it's a mid-range. I mean, it wasn't even mid-range. The spec-wise, I mean, overall, it was still running the same processor. It had a little bit less RAM. The display wasn't QHD. You had the 1080p, but it was the $699 alternative. Yeah. That you wanted to have out of the Galaxy line. And I feel like it was a popular device. It competed straight ahead with the iPhone 11, I think around the timing when it later came on, but then no more. And now we're talking about the S20 standard model is, like, at least from what I saw yesterday, or even earlier from Max was tweeting over on Twitter, like, I think it's like $1,000 starting at $1,000.
Yeah.
So I guess maybe we'll hear that there, I don't know if the E line will come later. Maybe that's a plan for them.
I don't know. Because they did bring out the light line, right? We have the S10 Note lights and S10 light. So they, in their mind, the lights might be taking over for the whole E line. They might fill that same niche in the market. So who knows?
You know what? Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. Because the light model, the S10 light at least, is running the exact same processor that we had with the S10e. It's the 855. It's not even the 855 plus. No headphone jack, but it's a bigger 1080p display. So it's kind of a slightly upgraded version of an S10e. But you're right. That could be the design that they decide to go with. The light line will be, there'll be a light S10, a light Note 10, or in this situation will be 20 and 20. And, but then when will the timing be? Because at this point they released them so late in the year. I mean, we saw them at CES, and they're releasing them now, and now they're not international. I think as far as I remember, certain markets were getting certain versions of the device. Like, I think the Note 10 was an Exynos device. And I think we're starting to see them pop up in different areas. So India, I think, starting to show the S10 Lite. So for me, it's interesting that they chose to do that. As long as the price is right, I think it's not a problem. But they should have it at the same time, right? They should give you and say, look, you want the Ferrari, you want the Lambo, you want the car that'll just do everything so fast for you, 12 gigs or whatever. And then we can give you the 8 gig model, you know, for $699, $799, something like that, or $749.
Exactly. If someone's going to cannibalize your sales, you may as well, in the words of Apple, you may as well make sure it's you. So you release all of your stuff at once. You have your mid-range, you have your high-end, yeah.
Capitalize it and give an option to everybody, especially since Samsung is going to be in every carrier store. It's going to be online. It's going to be everywhere. I mean, and especially the S line of devices. These are the popular, I mean, nothing against the Note line. But we always know that the Note line is more of a smaller subset group of people that generally go for that device. Where with the S line, I think that's where, you know, you and I will get it. We'll get it for our wife. We'll get it for our kids. Depending on, I think the S10e, I think, had a very good big market. And I'm very big fan of the
S10. It is disappointing to see it apparently die. So I'm also sad.
Like one gen and out.
Yeah. But I kind of wanted an S10e. I never got one, but I was about to bite the bullet.
I think the S10 Plus, actually, surprisingly, with the changes that they did with the S20, it still makes a perfect or a really good case for as far as getting that used now or even getting it as a device in 2020. Yeah. It's the last device to have a headphone jack from Samsung. I mean, that was it, the last thing. So the S20 Plus, for me as a device, carries a lot of the cool things. Wireless charging, reverse wireless charging, dual aperture lenses on the back, multiple lenses on the front, you know, 5 cameras on that device.
It still holds up pretty well.
Yeah, the 855 is it's not that old. A lot of people kind of dismiss it because you're like, oh yeah, 865 is faster, and it is. It will do better
at that level. The difference is like, but for most people, it's going to be so small.
Exactly. I think the 855 would still make a very good purchase in 2020. If obviously they'll have any of these devices in store, but we'll have to see.
I mean, the Z Flip's going to land with an 855, right? So, I mean, it's still a good choice in 2020.
No, exactly. Yeah, they're not. Samsung still has a lot of those chips, obviously. I think that's probably what drove the decision to go with the 855, but also to kind of bring down the price, because last year with the 855, it was the flagship of that year. Now they're using last year's chipsets, so it kind of brings down the cost, and I think that's where we're seeing some of the savings.
Yeah. And as Max points out in chat, it's the 855 Plus, DK.
Sorry, Max. You'll kick my butt later. Yeah, I know.
All right. Before we get on further, because we can keep going in this discussion, but before we go any further, I'd like to note that it's time for our ad break. So the Android Police podcast, which is us talking right now to you through the internet, we are on live on Twitch 4 times a week, and we can't do it without your support. The best way to help is by subscribing to Android Police directly here on Twitch. You get a special emoji of me to use in our chats, which people have been spamming all day, the entire time we've been talking. And you also get free entries into all of AP's giveaways. And right now, you can enter to win graphene battery pack. Tiers start at $5 a month. You can also subscribe to us for free if you have an Amazon Prime account. You pay nothing, and Jeff Bezos himself drives to my house with a check and gives us money.
I'll do that right now.
Yeah, it's true. Let me renew mine. Announcing, there we go. Announcing my podcast anniversary. Hey. So you pay nothing. Amazon gives us money. You do have to manually press subscribe every month, like I just did. When you do subscribe, a Pixel 3 style notch pops down from the center of the screen with your name on it, which is amazing, as we all know. You can learn more about our podcast at twitch.tv/AndroidPolice, which is also where you can watch it. And if you don't use Twitch, you can also head to androidpolice.com and hit the donate button to chip in. Thanks. So, back to Samsung.
It's gonna loom over us for some time till we get into MWC, the week after. So to me, I think they just need a better release date for the light line. If they are going to keep them and they're going to keep them going, they make sense to have them maybe middle of the year. They'll have like an S light. But to me, just like we said before, I think a concurrent release of a standard and a light model makes more sense, because the customer that's going to go for the light won't consider the higher end. But you don't want to just alienate everybody, right? Just don't like, okay, bye-bye, we don't want any mid-range. This would have been a perfect time. We may even hear something about the S10 Lite at the launch event. They may actually talk about US availability. So that could be part of the thing. So saying, look, we'll have the S20 line of devices, and for more of an entry experience, we'll have the S10 Lite that will be, you know, running some of the latest specifications as of late 2019, but still should be able to, you know, a good option for the price point that you're looking for.
Yeah.
So I think it's good. And it also has a bigger battery, which is nice. Than what the S10 line of devices had, I guess.
even if it's not an E, even if it's not the S20e that we all know secretly deep down inside we really want, it's something.
Yeah, something to be, because, you know, when Apple does it and they put in something in the mid-range, you cannot ignore the mid-range area. You can't, yeah, and they're actually starting to be more powerful of mid-range devices. I mean, we call them mid-range because of the price point, but they're quite capable. And, you know, OnePlus has done it year after year with their price point and the performance that we get.
Well, so, I was going to say, if we think about it another way, these $600 mid-range devices, 5 years ago, we would be calling flagships at $600. So yeah. the price point has moved up north significantly since then. Yeah. Really, we're talking about like flagships and super flagships.
Ultra, Uber flagships or something at that point. Yeah, because the Ultra is, yeah. I mean, I want the Ultra, but yeah, like I said, my wallet is hurting. It definitely is. I'm glad I owned. Oh man, it's going to be expensive. But
yeah, it is. It's going to be bad.
I got to start selling some phones.
Well, the trade-in offers, if you've got some S9s, S10s hanging around, you don't need the coverage.
I thought about doing that, but I feel like the S10 is a device I want to keep. It's a last of a generation.
Yeah. And it's just good to have something on hand so that you, like, when you're comparing, you can see, like, immediately what it was like last gen. It's probably time to get rid of maybe the S9s, but I doubt the trade-in on them is going to be very good.
Yeah, no, I tend to repurpose a lot of my devices. So the older generations, I'll just basically start circling around the family. And my mom doesn't really need something more than an S9. I think the S9 is quite powerful. So even with an S9 Plus, I think she's good for at least a couple of years. So yeah, I think overall, that's the beauty of, when we get enough devices, we share the happiness, we share the wealth.
I don't have a family around here in Boston to share them with. They're all 3,000 miles away. So they just go in a drawer and they stay there.
Yeah, no, I got everybody around me in Cali, and it's just, we're actually going through a chill today, which is weird, like a high of 50. It's kind of odd for us. Like 2 days ago, it was like 80, and today is 50. Like, man.
I envy your weather. Even at 50, I envy your weather. It's so cold here.
And I would love to visit you, but that's essentially it. Visit and come back.
Yeah, for a very, very brief period of time. The weather's terrible, as Jules, who is currently silent, can attest to.
Oh, man.
So, on that note, you've been working for XDA Developers, XDA TV, for quite a while. You're a longtime contributor over there.
Speaking of which, almost 10 years.
Wow, that's actually quite a while. That's longer than I've been in this business entirely, so good for you.
Yeah, I appreciate it. It's a great community of people. A lot of the stuff that happened with XDA, which actually I was a big fan before even starting there, but they gave me my break, and you know, they were very patient. They waited through all of my mistakes and all of my learning curve kind of thing there. And then, really nice group. And over the years, we've changed different people in and out, and the portal is actually doing very well. And we'll definitely be having coverage for, as I mentioned before, you know, with the Samsung stuff, myself and Max will be there. And then, of course, with MWC, we're going to have our portal, Michal, the editor-in-chief from the portal, is going to be there, as well as one of our writer/video producer, Adam Conway, as well, from Ireland. So it'll be good. Yeah, no, good. It's a good place to be part of.
Yeah, no, I you guys all seem to really enjoy it, and you get along real well. We're big fans of Max. We're good friends of both Max's and Michal's. We like you guys.
Max is quite a popular guy lately, yes, very much.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we hung out with Max. He was invited to the Minecraft server before all the leaks, all right? And he also carried me to victory in Fortnite several times long before any of this happened.
Okay, I'm going to have to talk to him about that because he needs to help me out a little bit. Yeah.
No. He's pretty good. He's pretty good.
But yeah, no, that very, very good crew. Max is great, and I'm looking forward to covering it because he and I also went to the Note event last year for Unpacked. So this is definitely very nice to start. A couple of producers here for YouTube, because all of our other producers are international, India and Ireland. So it's hard for them to cover US stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, no, and for people, if they're not familiar, I also have my own channel that I also manage, one in English, one in Arabic. So I try to diversify, as you said in the beginning. So I'm trying to, I started something nice in 2019 to try to speak to some of my Arabic followers. And there's been a good response there. So I'm trying to keep it up. So quite busy. And as most people know, I also still have a day job. So yeah, I don't sleep.
You're a busy guy.
Very busy. Wake up at 4 in the morning just to get things running.
I couldn't do that. But good for you.
Yeah. It's an old habit. I haven't broken it. I don't know why, but about 4:30, I'm up. I can't sleep.
I'm not a morning person. I have difficulty clawing my way out of the bed. It's bad. But on a related note, Jules also tells me that you are Lebanese. Earlier, we were doing our Merhaba Nisselson introduction, if anybody missed that. But have you met Rita, Android Police's Rita El-Khoury?
No, we our paths maybe have crossed, but I didn't get a chance to like personally introduce it. I think for the most, it hasn't been that long that I've started showing both the Arabic and the English name in the same forum. Mm-hmm. So, but yes, no, born and raised Lebanon, actually quite a while ago, but I came to the US when I was 17. So okay. it's been some time, but overall, I think it's part of, yeah. So Tariq, as you said at the beginning, is the first name. A TK is actually just the first and last letter there. And then Bey is last name. So for me, it's more, I feel like it's relatable. It's an easy name to remember. I've learned it over the years that people will remember TK even if they don't know who I am. So
the pronunciation for Tariq is a little hard for some people. Like Jules keeps saying Tariq, and I'm like, it's Tariq, dude.
Yeah. No, it's I've heard it even some people will call Tariq, which is another version of the name. In Lebanese, Tariq or Tariq means street. Not to confuse that with the Tariq, the T-A-R-I-Q spelling of the name. So when I first went into high school, all my teachers were calling me that. And I'm like, got to come up with a nickname. So TK was born like literally a month after I came to the U.S. And it stuck. And it stuck. It's weird when my kid calls me TK, though. That's interesting.
That is a little odd. I could imagine that would be difficult to adapt to.
Yeah. Because when he's talking about YouTube and stuff, he'll always talk about, like, he'll refer to me as TK. So he's like, okay, I understand. Yeah. You're referring to the person in front of the camera. So I'm okay with that.
But I was going to say, Rita still lives in Lebanon. She's over there. So I don't know if you ever go back, but if you do, you should look her up, say hi.
I think we're planning a trip back to Lebanon, to Beirut, just mostly for the family, but also have one of our other producers here at XDA, Rawad Zahirdin, that's also used to be one of our video producers, also from Lebanon as well. And I think there's one of the really good Expos module developers that also lives in Lebanon. So I'm familiar with a few, but didn't get a chance to. But I will definitely try to reach out and say hello to Rita.
Marhaba. An Android party and merhaba.
Yeah. Marhaba, of course. Lebanon it's amazing. It's a beautiful country. Amazing
I
want to
go.
Food.
I've never been.
It's just. It's all I can say is I can never describe Lebanon without putting a smile on my face because those are the memories I have of it. And I grew up in a tough time. So for me to have a smile during that time tells you that that's how much love there is down there. And I want to be able to share that with people. But hopefully, if we're able to swing a trip sometime, we'll have to have a little bit of an Android party there because it's nice to have friends there from just in the same community. Always.
Yeah,
good.
Definitely. I'm sure she'd love to hang out.
Yeah.
So you mentioned an Exposed developer that lives in Lebanon. For people who are unfamiliar, it's this. Exposed is like a module-based system, sort of the root and ROM crowd used to like make little customization tweaks to Android. They can kind of shoehorn in little bits of custom code in these modules.
Exactly.
And Jules tells me that you are a longtime Exposed module addict.
I am. And we used to have a series on XDA that I carried through also on my channel. It was just Exposed Tuesdays, which essentially was a new module every Tuesday that we did on XDA. And Exposed just, if you're going to root your device and you want to be able to get as close to stock experience as possible, I think Exposed offers you the best of both worlds. Having to install a full custom ROM like Lineage OS or anything like that on your device. And it obviously losing all of the, I would say, stock experiences, because they're getting better. I have to say that much. Where we were maybe 4 years ago, 5 years ago, Samsung or even other OEMs didn't give us
so
as
bad.
Much custom. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rooting and a custom ROM was literally the only way to get the full potential. And Exposed, I found that was a very good way to give us a customization level. Once you root to device, you do need to have root and you do have to have the Exposed framework installed on your device before you're able to even use the modules. So that's the architecture that you have to have. And I think those were great. And there's a big following with it. And unfortunately, as time kind of went on, the demand for Exposed modules kind of slightly dripped down because, again, OEMs are starting.
Like we're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. They're incorporating a lot of these changes, like, themes. I think the big one was themes, right? People wanted to be able to theme their devices, dark themes. Custom themes, colors, and different looks on their device to make it their own. And I think now with the current generation, with Exposed running through the Magix installer, so you're able to actually not only root your device, but also install modules directly from the same control panel or interface.
Makes it terribly convenient. Yeah.
Extremely. And it's hard not to try it, right? So it's in, you know, and worst comes to worst, if it ever has any issue, you just flash the uninstaller, disable the modules, and your device goes back to normal. So you're protected in a certain way. And of course, custom recovery always and back up your device.
Long time ago, I used to use Exposed, like, I would say 2013 to around 2015. Like you were saying, it was kind of the dark ages for Android. Because there was such a different mix of software features. You got, there were the Pixel, well, it wasn't the Pixels yet. You had the Nexuses, which had a very stock, like almost too stock approach, where anything that Google hadn't done, you couldn't do. And then Samsung had, you know, their own little mix of beneficial features and all of the bloat that came with Samsung
TouchWiz, yeah, man, back in the TouchWiz days.
Yeah, so like nothing was quite perfect. So I always rooted and exposed my phones. I think I switched to GravityBox like as soon as that was out, and I was like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever. It's like a ROM without having a ROM. And I get
with
updates
all
from
of
stuff.
The options. Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. It's like Pandora's box, but all good things, right?
Yeah.
So yeah,
you're basically running like a really heavily customized ROM, except you get your updates from Google if you're on a Pixel. Like you can keep running stock. It was great. Yep. And I miss it, but I stopped doing it, like you said, because, you know, the features have trickled down. They've also made it a lot harder. So like rooting a phone is not the easy operation it used to be, where it was something you could do in, well, something someone like me could do in like 10 minutes. Now it's kind of a pain, especially if you want to stay up to date.
Exactly. It's an interesting struggle going through back, you know, with what companies are allowing you even to unlock your bootloader. So there's also that discussion there. There are certain companies that even to this day, I think they're very known, they're very development friendly. And I'm obviously going to just say right there, OnePlus, very big there, easy. You root that device 2 minutes after. You could still download the updates and install them and flash them without having to lose, root or any of the mods that you've done on there. But other OEMs, yeah, they've locked down the bootloader. And I think it's more of the limitation that we're getting there that's stopping the development. I think once we started hitting that, and they realize, like, okay, we closed this door. What do we do? They give you some of those features, and you're not needing it as much. And I think that's where with the new trend that's going on with Android, you're getting them honestly in there. Like we did a video, or there was an article that we posted yesterday on GoodLock. If you're not familiar with it, the best way to describe it, it's like small modules that you install on your Samsung device. Obviously, if it's supported.
And like customize individual features like the lock screen and
The lock screen, the Recents app, the way the Recents apps actually shows on your device. So we're seeing things just evolve, and the need of root is not as much, but it is harder. You're right. It's not as simple. And very few manufacturers do not void your warranty if you unlock your bootloader. So there's also that factor. But I love the fact that OnePlus has been there. It still supports the development community, and it's super easy, and it's almost as simple as a Pixel device, but it is getting harder. You're right. Even with Android 10 or even Android 11, it becomes a little bit harder, and root isn't achieved right away as we've seen them in the past.
Yeah. But another good thing to note, even though it's kind of a small point, but a couple of the more struggling OEMs like Asus, they've been opening up a whole lot about their developer programs as well, right? With the the Zenfone Flip or whatever. I can't remember the name of that one. The one with the
Zenfone 6, the one 6, that we saw. Zenfone 6. And they actually did also send out a few devices to developers. So they're trying to work with developers, which is, again, very good. So those are the things that we want to be able to see, because there's also still a big market for it if we think about it. Yeah, I mean, maybe not
it
in
really
the U.S.
Is. Yeah.
If you think of the East, like Indian market or so on, the viewers there are very still interested in modding, rooting, upgrading, installing, the Gcam mods on devices to try it out, see how the camera can get better. So there's still a big need for it. So it's just shifted. I think that's probably the best way.
And it's not just about adding new features. In a lot of cases, this is about people stretching their phones out to last longer. If you're still getting updates through a custom ROM or through something else, you can keep a 2 or 3 year old phone running and secure because you're getting security updates. I mean,
exactly.
You might be bootloader unlocked. You might be rooted, whatever. There's security issues associated with that. But nonetheless, it's better than sitting on a phone that's a year, 2 years out of date as 0-day vulnerabilities land and don't get patched.
And that's the main benefit. It's the support, and it's the post-purchase support that we generally lack. Many companies are they will release devices with updates, and I think Samsung's getting better over it now within the last few years about security patch updates and updates to their devices. But you're right, some devices or some OEMs that are maybe not as big and they don't have as big of a software development team may stop supporting their devices with security patch updates, sooner. And this is the best way to extend life. And I think that was originally why I got into XDA. I was even during the time I was actually on a Windows Mobile on an MDA device that was limited with Windows Mobile. I think was it Windows Mobile 4, and didn't it wasn't going to get the Windows Mobile 5. And there was actually a port. There was a developed custom version of Windows Mobile 5 that ran on my MDA and extended the life of my device. So that was always the mantra of XDA. It's extending the life of your device and giving you full control over what you do with your device.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I like that.
I think we have a couple questions here from the Peanut Gallery, the Twitch chat. ChickDigger802 says, hey TK, question about the NextDock 2. Does it have a touchscreen?
So the NextDock 2 is something that just featured. We did a couple of articles on those as well. So it does not have a touchscreen, unfortunately. The current model does not have a touchscreen. It is a 1080p IPS panel that is laminated, and it basically has a reflective text, you know, coating on it. But the overall experience is essentially, I would say, closer to more non-touch, full version of whatever desktop EMUI or you know DeX version that you're running on your smartphone. But everything is done through the keyboard and the mouse pad. You are able to use your phone as a touchpad, but not the display.
But hold, so I'm actually not familiar with this. What is the NextDock? Is it?
I'm glad you asked, my friend. I'm sorry. You said, what is a NextDock? I got to answer the question.
No. No worries. I asked for it.
So here's the NextDock. The NextDock is, if you're familiar, remember Project Linda a few years back with Razer?
That was Razer, right? Yeah.
Yeah. So Razer showed us a concept that and I think it was at CES, Project Linda.
Oh, so this is like a Superbook.
Similar. The difference is there's no dock. It literally looks like a laptop. It works almost like a laptop. The main superpower here is there's connector ports that we have here on the side. So first one here on the far to you would be left, or my left to your right, is essentially the port that you connect to a smartphone. So a Samsung DeX or an EMUI-based desktop device, either an Honor or a Huawei device, which was the original design that was they were trying to shoot for, by the way, will actually launch a desktop experience. So making it into a laptop, basically. So unfortunately, no touch display, at least in this version. We do have a backlit keyboard, a very nice size battery that charges your device at the same time as you're using it. And it connects via USB-C, so no additional wire, just one cable, USB-C to USB-C, and everything works great.
This is just like the Superbook.
Yeah, and it'll work also with, let's say, OnePlus, if you just want to do screen mirroring. At some point when we get, you know, Android 10 or Android 11 version desktop built into Android, it will also work here because it's a very similar experience. And the keyboard and the mouse all basically work normally, natively, touch sensitivity, swipe gestures, all of the things will work here. There's a built-in speakers as well as an SD card and a 3.5mm headphone jack on the side, in case you miss that nostalgic form factor. So they got everything set up. And yeah, about $299 shipped, I think, like roughly around that from nextdock.com. So very nice. Myself and a buddy of mine, Juan Carlos Bagnell, backed them up back when they were in the Kickstarter campaign stage. Mm-hmm. And we just literally got our hardware right before we went to CES, like around the CES timeline. So very exciting.
Okay, cool. I'll have to check that out because I backed the Superbook, which was a similar idea that might have predated it by a couple of years, and it was garbage, terrible unit. Hated it. Really, first, really, really bad.
First generation of the NextDock did have some issues, but there's still a big big core fan of people that love it. And I feel like this one just learned everything from the NextDock and got us into what we wanted, which essentially is a seamless transition between your phone's operating system, you know, standard Android, either be it 9 or 10, running a desktop-like experience, and make it functional so that you can, let's say, stop at a coffee shop. And if you have 5G on your smartphone, it has 5G. You have 12 gigs of RAM. This thing has 12 gigs. Yeah. All of the power of your smartphone in here. And every time you get a new smartphone, this thing gets upgraded. So very nice. Yeah, I love the question.
I'd be curious to give it a try because I've always loved the idea of convergence. But every time I've actually tried a product that claims to do it, the experience has been really bad. So I'd love for someone to succeed at it.
Yeah,
it would be great.
Yeah. We saw them back at I.O. last year. Michelle and I saw them last year, and we were very, very excited. Even with the prototype, it looked very, very promising. So check them out. Yeah, nextdock.com.
Sweet. So one last question comes courtesy of Max Weinbach. Who's that? I don't know.
No idea who that guy is.
Okay, TK, what do you think about these new high megapixel cams starting with the S20 Ultra?
So I think overall with the high megapixel, it's a numbers game, right? Because Samsung's always been on the, we don't need to worry about the high megapixel count. We will give you a 12 megapixel count, but we'll give you better pixels. We'll have, you know, bigger pixels, and we'll also have the dual aperture. So it's always been their game, and they're finally jumping into, with the Ultra at least, because we saw that supposedly the Ultra will have a different set of cameras than the standard S20 and S20 Plus. I'm interested to see what they do. I mean, obviously the 865 is quite capable as far as 8K footage. We saw that. We learned that back at, I think it was at the Qualcomm Tech Summit last year. So I'm looking forward to seeing image stabilization. I'm not sure if we're going to see more than 4K, sorry, 8K at 30 frames per second, because that's the limitation that we're going to see.
Yeah, so that was all that Max said they were going
to
get.
I just want to be able to see a lot of good image processing and hopefully support from GCam as well. I know it's ahead of the phone coming out and I'm kind of chumping it. I always love having the option of trying multiple cameras, and GCam as a mod has been... It can only improve what's already there. So having a,
it does
a
some
very
of the best
sensor,
processing out there, yeah.
Throw that in there. Definitely a good combo. So Max, as myself, we're also very excited to see what the S20 Ultra is going to be, because that is a ridiculous high level of megapixels. So I hope they deliver.
It is. On hardware, it's good. My secret paranoia is that I'm most concerned about the processing. I kind of think that Google's made it clear you can be using a three-year-old sensor. It doesn't matter. As long as your processing is like top shelf, you know what you're doing with the data you're getting.
Yeah.
You can make almost anything work. And I'm a little worried because I don't think the camera on the S10 was like amazing. It was fine. It was better than the OnePlus, but it was fine.
It was definitely. I mean, it has its merit. I wouldn't necessarily say that it was, like top of the line. I mean, we saw both Apple and the Pixels do quite well, but I think Samsung did definitely step up their game with the S10 line.
I'd still like to see them step up processing a little more, especially when it comes to, I want to see improvements on the telephoto, both in terms of processing and in terms of the actual hardware itself, because the telephoto on the S10 was kind of soft, and I thought it was kind of washed out, and maybe some better multiple exposure HDR magic could have had better dynamic range. I wasn't that into it, but maybe they can do better this time around.
I hope so. And I hope we see a better color calibration between the different lenses.
Yes.
So not necessarily just getting better at the quality of the image, but giving us that same experience. So if I jump to the ultra wide, I'm still going to see the same colors, the same skin tone. So I have to give credit to, the other camp for calibrating their colors. And I feel like Samsung, if there's anybody that could start this trend on Android, they need to be able to knock it out with the S20. So looking forward to that and hoping to be surprised. Even if I would like to see it, I want to be surprised with that. See better colors from all of the sensors that they're showing us.
And consistency, like you're saying, when you switch between the two, you don't want the color temperature to change dramatically because it's analyzing a new scene. Treat it all as the same.
Exactly. Yeah. Let it lock it in and keep it consistent and give us the flexibility of using all the lenses at the same time in video. No limitation. So those are the things I want to be. I want to be able to jump between the 108 and let's say, 12 or whatever for whatever feel that I'm trying to get out of the video, because, that's what we want. We want control over our video and give us that buttery smooth, stabilization that you're seeing there, maybe at 4K now, as opposed to not just keeping it at 1080p. So I would love that.
I would agree. I wholeheartedly agree. And to summarize, what we want is Apple's camera in an Android phone. It's kind of what we're talking about here.
I didn't want to say the other camp's name, but yeah.
It's okay. It's okay. We're realists at Android Police. Yeah. All right. So I think that's the end of our show. Pleasure having everybody. I'm on Twitter. You can reach me. I am... all the topics we talked today can be found at androidpolice.com/podcast when I'm not jumping the gun and skipping to the end of the script. We're live 4 times a week, most weeks, at twitch.tv/androidpolice. We'd love to hear your thoughts. If we don't ignore them, you can send an email to podcast@androidpolice.com. And TK can tell you more about where you can find him.
So most of the time, you can find me just by looking TK Bay, either YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, or anywhere. But at XDA Developers, of course, on YouTube and XDA TV. On my own personal channel, TK Bay on YouTube, as well as Tariq Bay, if you're looking for Arabic content as well. But other than that, TKDSL8655 on Twitter and on Instagram.
And on Twitter, I'm at Ryan Hager. That's RyneHager, because I spell my name funny. Our producer, Jules Wang, is at Point Jules, and our theme music is by Home. Thanks again to TK. I'm reading this as Jules is typing. We're back with the Q&A live stream on Thursday and another episode of the podcast on Friday. Till then, enjoy the week and take care.
Nice seeing you guys. Thank you.
It was lovely having you.